ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I was able to sit down with Coach Angel from South City Athletic Club. Now, if you've seen him out there, you probably can recognize him. Most people do from a distance. I think he is a great gentleman to sit down, great coach to have around. His playing days are very fascinating as we dive into his philosophy as a coach and how he has grown as a coach. And I think that's key. I think most coaches grow as they're coaching. They just don't walk into this knowing everything, and they get a chance to expand their knowledge. And he's humble enough to admit how much he's changed in growth, in his growth as a coach. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
So, hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Angel Portillo. I'm born and raised here in Dallas, Texas. If anyone knows me more than anything, I usually claim to be El Salvadorian descent because that's the side from my dad is from. My mom's Mexican, but for all his Hispanic players, as we know, we usually take whatever dad or our dad is from, unless we really love the country that our mom's from. But I like to be the underdog sometimes. I've been coaching for about 5 to 6 years. I've been started coaching since I was about 18/19. I just kind of got thrown into it, weirdly enough. And now, present day, I am currently coaching at South City Athletic Club. I'm a coach, media director, and probably everything else in between. I love coaching. Right now, I coach U12 girls and U8 boys and girls. Right now, I have them co-ed, but due to the growth, we're more likely going to separate. So yeah, that's a little bit of the broad horizon. I've been playing all my life since I was about 4 years old. All of high school, varsity, had the opportunity to play college, didn't play college, just because of a last minute head injury once the insurance decided to cut me off. So when I got that concussion, a lot of the schools pulled their scholarship just because I wasn't up to health for a last minute commitment to for them to update the rosters and all that good stuff. I did have a stint with the El Salvador national team, U16, U18, I believe, somewhere around there. Both me and my brother were there. And we just didn't stick it out for the long term due to how bad the country was during that time because we had to stay and live there to live the dream pretty much. And we didn't, my mom didn't feel like it was safe for us to stay there. So we didn't stay and we just came back to the US and try to work our way up from there with that portfolio that we ended up growing in that time that we were there. So yeah.
You played all the way through your youth. So U16, you played on the national team. What did you do when you came back from the national team then?
When I came back, I think I honestly just started just keep going back at club. I'm trying to remember exactly where I was at during that time. Now that I'm getting older, it just feels like a blur. Half of my memory is back in my youth, but I think I just continued playing club, and I think that's when high school was getting back around because when I did that stint, it was when I was barely going into high school. No. Yeah, it was probably like after my freshman year of high school. So I think I was still with Dallas Texans during that time and started looking for a new club because I wanted something somewhere that was going to give me more playing time to keep me consistent if I ever got called back up. Because nowadays, I mean, consistency is super, super key to get reps, especially games. And that's something I stress as a coach as well. Games builds confidence. And I feel like a lot of clubs don't do that. They sit a lot of players out for my opinion, for no reason. And this is something me and my brother were actually talking about, how a lot of coaches will say, hey, we're going to develop your players, but they don't stick to that. Because it's just like they say development, but then as they're going through it, just like exactly how I said, you practice and then they have to apply what you're teaching them to do. And the only way they can apply that is through games and for them to get confidence and get into a rhythm and everything like that. But if they're not playing, they don't get into that. And I won't say I'm perfect at it because like with my girls team, they're in girls classic league right now. And there are some games where I have to maybe keep particular players in certain positions, but I do try my best to rotate, because I do believe like all the players I have on my team, I have to trust them 100%. And if we lose, we lose, we lose with the squad that we have. But regardless, at the end of the day, I used to be the player that used to sit the bench a lot. And the coach used to sub me in probably like the last 2 minutes of the game, and the ref would blow the whistle. Yeah, that used to suck. So I always told myself I'll never do that as a coach because as a kid, when that happened to me, like that crushed the fun out of it, because at the end of the day, we want to have fun. And especially, I think as parents, we want to see our kids enjoying themselves more than anything. Even if they don't make professional, we want to see them enjoying themselves because it sucks to see your kid sad and asking like, well, mom, dad, why isn't coach playing me? And then, the whole, oh, we'll just keep working hard. It's going to come. And then months pass and, nothing still changes. So I think that's a dynamic in our current soccer world that we have to change. Cause right now I think we're still so caught up on just winning championships more than development and enjoying the little moments. So.
Enjoying the little moments. I think I have a son that is 9. I have a daughter that's 5. They're both, my daughter will be 6 here soon. And my son will be, after this is aired, this will be the February timeframe. They'll be a year older, technically 6 and 10. And having a son that I feel like my son is very talented. I know I'm biased as a parent, but he puts in the effort, he puts in the time. And but he has a lot of raw natural talent. And I think parents forget that if they don't foster that relationship with the game as a parent, teaching them to love the game and like you said, enjoying the moments, enjoying those small moments, the game, because that's why they get burnt out by the time they're 13, 14 years old. I can't imagine. I will say that I never played a high level sport. High school was it for me. And being burnt out, I can't imagine that looking back, but I see why kids, because they don't enjoy it. You said that. Now, with your coaching philosophy, you try to get them in because of what happened to you. Are you like me when I coached? I had a spreadsheet. They go in at this time, they go in, or do you try to go with the ebb and flow of the game then?
The flow of the game, I think now I'm gonna have to do a spreadsheet and lock times in because I'm super big on data. Because just to kind of go off topic just real quick, like for example, compared to the last coach who coached these girls, I got the data of how many games they played in a whole season, which was 38 from June 2022 until I took over in May 2023. And so far from May 2023 up to where we're at now, we played 38 games. We played as many games as they did in a whole probably almost a whole season. So I wanted to show the parents like we've been active and you know our record and how many we've been scoring, everything like that, just to kind of self-reflect. But I would want to start logging it in on spreadsheets, or if not, probably writing it down when I put them in or how much time I give them, just because if I'm being honest, and I'm okay saying this, you know, parents are a little tough nowadays, you know, just because, and there's nothing wrong with it, you know, we got to hold each other accountable. But I think now it's tough because they feel sometimes obligated. Because I'm not gonna lie, I do get paid for coaching and everything like that. But you know, I usually put that back into the kids, you know, buying them Gatorades or using it for equipment that's needed and all that stuff. I never done this for the money or anything like that, but then again I drive a diesel truck, so I gotta put that back in. But I do want to log it in just because like I have parent in the beginning of the season when I was still trying things out and seeing what stuck, a lot of parents were quick to be like, hey, well my daughter or my son only played 8 minutes or 10 minutes or even 15 minutes out of a 60 minute game or whatnot. And I'm over here like, really? It's like I could have sworn I checked my watch and I gave him more minutes than that or him more minutes than that. So I want to timestamp them just a little bit better so I have that data and be like, yes, they played for this amount and everything like that. But lately I just been going with the flow of the game. And like I said, just kind of just trusting my players, even if maybe they still lack a few things and everything like that, you know. Kind of like I said earlier, you know, I got to stick with the philosophy. I got to ride or die with that. Like a lot of coaches that I look up to do, you know, they keep trying to push their agendas as much as they can for it to stick. And if it doesn't, then obviously us, the coaches, will be held responsible, not the players, especially youth soccer. We can't hold it to the players because I mean, they're kids. But us, the coaches, you know, if it's not working, then yes, we'll change it up. So yeah, hopefully that spreadsheet thing is actually a great idea. So hopefully I can get my manager to type that up. You know, 8 minutes, so I'll tell her.
Well, if they sit on the bench with you, there's other applications. I've been tinkering with Ollie. I'm not a spokesman for them or anything, but that's an app I've been looking at. And you can put in pass data. You can put in like how many times they make a good pass, what time they go in, what time they come off. I like my easy access
Yeah.
on a tablet or a cell phone. But I always carried a clipboard with a, what is it called? I would laminate my sheet and I would write it all on there. The next game I would just erase it and keep the names. That was the only thing that stayed constant throughout the year was the names, and I kept a few extra lines for added players or if we brought in kids from other squads.
Right.
to help out with the games. So, I mean, that was 4v4, not like it's very complex. You have 40 minutes, and you know that every 5 minutes someone's subbing off and someone's coming back on. Because we only kept a roster of six per team, or tried. So, I mean, that's easy to do, but when it's 7v7, 9v9, and I don't know how 11v11 works really yet because I haven't been there, but the element is subbing, it's easy to do. And but you talked about not realizing. I think most parents don't realize the coach is trying to play in the moment. And I know when I coached, if I didn't have the stopwatch sitting right there on top of my clipboard, 20 minutes felt like two some games. And you just don't realize it. And you can't be a clock watcher because you aren't paying attention to the game then.
I think the best analogy, and I've probably had this year as a coach, probably more parent meetings than I've ever had. But then again, I mean, when I was younger, I always felt intimidated to talk to the parents. But now it's just kind of, I've learned, especially growing up as an adult, communication is so big nowadays, kind of just really emphasizing what you want to do or how you're feeling or what's on your mind and everything like that. And something I emphasized to the parents a lot, especially when this playing time was coming up, I told them, I was like, hey, look, if I mess up and they play shorter than what they did, it's not because I didn't want to play them. It's just because I'm so focused on the game. I always tell them, I was like, the metaphor I use is like I'm playing a chess match with the other coach. Like if I'm not trying to figure him out and move the pieces around to where it helps us get the advantage, then we're gonna struggle because we did play like a really good team probably maybe like 2 months ago or something like that, where they were just passing the ball all over us around, and the usual squad I had was not cutting it until I made some substitutions and then put people in unnatural positions, and then it just started to click and we started to turn the tides. But that's something I usually tell parents because I usually have a lot of parents that text me like, hey, well, why did they sub off? Are they doing bad? What do they need to get better? And I was like, no, they didn't do anything, just rotation and everything like that. Or hey, they played a little bit less. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't notice, not saying, I'm not paying attention. It's just because, I'm so into the game and just trying to put things together. Because also if I'm not paying attention and an injury happens and everything like that, like I want to be on top of it. Because we did play a game one time where there was a coach, I think he was going between both fields, coaching one, like a 77 team, and then on the 11v11 field. And the injury happened on the 11v11 field. And then everyone was like, where's he at? And I'm over here looking like, where is he at? And then a parent had to come on and jump the field. So I want to be engaged as much as possible for moments like that, too. Because, I mean, obviously, as coaches, we get trained for heat strokes, CPR, and all that stuff. And every second counts. So I don't want to miss out on any little things like that. Or if, we score, then I want to make sure I'm paying attention so I can celebrate with them as well.
Right. Now it's fascinating because I feel like as a parent, we sit on the sideline and we sit there and chat to each other. And I tend to ramble more than I probably should. I need to be listening more. And but it's interesting when you start listening to these parents talking about their players not getting playing time. And it's funny to me because they're looking at it as a minute by minute, and I'm looking at why. Why aren't they getting the minute? Like, why is my son getting taken off? Why is he, did he do something wrong? Or is he, because he's making a mistake and the coach wants to talk to him? Or so I watch when my son comes off. Is the coach directing him to do something? Or is he just taking him off because he needs a break and someone else needs to have a chance to have those quality touch times? And you can't, as a parent, we can't be angry because there is X amount of kids on the roster. And if there is 14 kids on a roster for 7v7, you're getting 30 minutes. They should be getting an average of 30 minutes of play time. But at the same time, I don't think parents understand that some coaches are under a lot of pressure to perform. It's not put by the parents, it's put by the club. And I think if parents just take a step back and realize like they are no different than them as employees at their current job, if they aren't performing, they get let go. And I don't think a lot of parents understand like there's a set time window they have if they get a new team. Or I mean I it's frustrating as a parent because I look at it from more of the coaching angle. It's like you have a lot more pressure put on you to perform. I don't know if you have that at your club,
No,
but.
I've never had it necessarily directed from the club. I think the club I'm at now, South City, we're really good on actually focusing on development, because we do have teams winning. I wouldn't say we wouldn't all our teams are like losing bad or anything like that. We've been competitive, but like especially on the academy side, because before I came here, we only had before I came to South City, we only had like five teams, and then I guess. Not sound humble, but almost every club I went to, I've been kind of a builder. Like as soon as I get there, it's like I help like crazy to like attract more players and help build teams and everything like that. Especially if they tell me the project is to build. So when I got to South City, we went from five teams to I think we're like at 12 teams now. And a lot of our academy, I mean, a lot of the kids are like brand new, like fresh. So. Even my 2016s, I was not walking into the season with the expectations because I told the parents I was like, hey, this is a learning season. Like we're gonna get beat. But for the most part, I mean, we got fourth place in our league and they did better than expected and very proud of the kids and everything like that. But no, I don't have the club never sets those expectations for me, but I think I set those for myself because if we really look at North Texas soccer. The clubs that are really getting all the players and success are the clubs that are winning and everything like that. And I think as coaches, we know, especially those who know kind of like how the system is working in a sense, we know if we're not winning and we're not competing enough, and especially if we have players that are developing good, and then the parents start seeing these clubs that are winning and doing maybe way better than us. Then we as coaches get fearful about losing our players and everything like that because it's really, really hard to rebuild, especially if I go into this summer with my team and I lose maybe like five or four, then that's going to hit me hard because, as they grow up, I'm going to need more players. And then as they get into high school, they're going to start playing high school and getting more injuries. So I'm going to need that depth in my squad. But it's hard to think about that. It's hard to think about the summer if I'm not thinking about, hey, we need. At least like 10 more wins before the end of the season and everything like that. Have a little bit of a balance, more wins than losses, or if not, like a little close by. Because just like I said, I mean, the clubs that I know and the other coaches that I've talked to that I won't name out of respect for them, they've told me straight up like, hey, like, I'm only trying to win championships because that's what attracts players when tryouts come. That helps me gain more money as a coach. That helps me, just, really look good and attract, and everything like that. So that's the pressure I put on myself, even though people don't tell me to, but I know success really, really helps because kind of like how you said too, sometimes in a parent's perspective, and I was actually watching my brother's semifinal game yesterday at I forgot the U90 something tournament up in Louisville. But I was listening to some of the parents and everything like that, and their parents are so demanding of their kids. Even and these were 2015s.
My gosh.
Listening to how some of the stuff and the way they were like telling them and everything like that. And maybe as when I become a parent, maybe I'll get that and do that maybe for my son. But at the same time, especially being a player and applying those player instincts with the kids that I teach now, I would have for sure some empathy and understand like, he's not going to be Messi and he's not going to be Cristiano Ronaldo. But it's crazy to see how demanding parents are of like young kids at an early age and how much they push them because I'm starting to see kids now going from, especially if they're academy, they're bouncing around teams, playing with whoever, probably training every day with a trainer, which sometimes I don't know how some parents can afford that unless they're rich. But I feel for these kids sometimes because of like, yeah, I'm glad that they're working their butt off and hopefully they make pro. But obviously the chances of that are tight, but that's a different topic. But it's just like I feel like sometimes we don't give our kids a chance to still be a kid, especially in the soccer world, because like I said, we're pushing our own agendas and maybe the dreams that we've never accomplished onto them. And like I said, it just reflects on that. And then when we have that pressure put onto the kids, then the kids feel that pressure from the parents, and then it goes on to the coach, because if the coach is not doing good for that kid, and then it's just, you know, it's a whole cycle. It's just, it's tough to see sometimes. But yeah, I mean, the current North Texas soccer world that we have right now is super competitive, and it's super tough. And that's why it's just real important to, you know, just be on top of your game as a coach.
The question I was asked recently, and it goes back to your enjoyment comment, is from the very beginning, it's the pressure we put on our kids. Will they still foster and love the game because of the pressure they've been put into later on in life? And it really, I have this is from Soccer Dave's interview, and it really hit me hard because I kind of dodged the question. I admitted that at the end of the episode, and I talked about it briefly. It's, do I as a parent and the next parent next to me, do we put unbiased pressure on our kid, or are we putting true pressure on them that not so much to perform, but to foster the love of the game? And I think watching these tournaments, it's like, I remember when I coached Landon's first tournament, we didn't do another tournament for the rest of the time. His first tournament, it was in 2021, no, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The 20, somewhere around there, 2021, 2020.
Yeah.
And we didn't do another one because why should we put our kids in an environment where they're all the screaming, all the yelling? And us as coaches felt the pressure to have our kids perform at a high level. And was it needed? No. Why? And David put it in a very good perspective for me, was the way you put pressure on your kids by adding time to something, you're not putting the time pressure on them. They're putting the pressure on themselves to learn to perform in a timely manner. And creating that love, that want for this game, you're seeing it. This is where I envy coaches that have played. It's, or people that have played this game and are now parents, because we don't know that pressure. I don't know that pressure. And how do you go to the parents like, take a chill pill? They're 5, they're 6, they're 12, they're 13. And I know that we're getting to the age, once you get U13 and older, winning becomes important. But at the same time, how do you take advantage? I mean, you said you have a U12 and a U18. How do you take advantage of those, I call them the golden years of coaching and building these players up? Because at the end of the day, development's key. And my biggest pet peeve in our Metroplex is every player that is very talented normally comes from a small independent club or a smaller club that truly focus on development up until U13. Then one of these larger clubs goes, I'm going to give you a scholarship, come play for us. Or we're going to give you a heavily discounted rate to come play for us, and we'll cover all your travel, or whatever the case may be. And as a parent, I find that wrong, because the coaches need to have credit, because at the end of the day, those coaches won't be there to develop the next player to come through for these clubs to cherry pick and gobble up these players, because the parents are trying to look for the best avenue for their kid to be seen, so to speak.
Yeah.
And how do you advise parents then to say, like, look, that's not always the case. Like, you can be seen and you can have showcases with us, or showcases with me. I have XY connections, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
How do you advise parents then for that type of stuff?
Man, that's a hard question. That's a really tough one. And that's something I think I would say I'm dealing with in the moment, or I've been trying to situate with. Something I've expressed to the parents, and something I've learned as a coach, to really adapt quickly. Because if I don't adapt quickly and don't try to improve things or address things, then things are going to stir up and get worse. And I say that because, for example, like how you were just saying, in regards to the tournaments, I usually tell the parents, like, hey, especially walking into the fall season, I was like, hey, a lot of these tournaments we're going to do, I'm not expecting to win. I want to win. I'm not saying we're going to walk in there and not compete, but I want to use these tournaments as a stepping stone walking into the season, because I laid out my objectives clearly. I told the parents, I was like, all these tournaments, before the fall season are for preparation, for me to move pieces around, put players in positions where I think they might work or they might not work or et cetera, to really test things out. And that I told them, I was like, that might jumble up things to where we might lose and everything like that. But it's tough to kind of stick to that game plan because just like how you said, when we're over at this tournament, I feel responsible for not only making sure we compete, but at the same time, remembering as a human being standpoint that those parents are taken out of their weekend, missing church, missing probably family events just to be at that tournament. So it was just kind of like, man, we still got to get something out of this so that we can walk out of this weekend still enjoying it. But, you know, at the very least, I can say I set the objectives or the standard of walking into these tournaments. Usually when I feel like a parent is being overwhelming, which I haven't had to deal with that a lot currently at South City, I think probably at my last club, I may have had to deal with that just a little bit, but I can't remember who exactly or what the situation was because my life has honestly been like a movie. I usually deal with the most weirdest and randomest stuff half the time. But honestly, now I'm really communicative, and if I feel like the perspective of parent of the parent is unjust, or I feel like a little too overbearing, then I'll have a conversation with them, respectful conversation with them, just letting them know, you know, these are my standards and these are my goals, and at the end of the day, we got to remember that the kids are kids. Because something I told my parents recently, I was like, hey, you know, after I sent them, I showed them all the data in our recent meeting, I said, hey, I'm not focused on also just this season. I was like, as a coach, it's for the long term. I told all my parents this in the summer. I was like, hey, I want to grow up with these kids. Like, I want to see them go from elementary or middle school all the way to high school graduation. That's my goal. Because I use that example about the long term, because for example, you know, these coaches who prepare teams for the World Cup and everything, right? It's just kind of like, for example, I'll use El Salvador as a reference. El Salvador has went through like four, maybe even five different coaches within the last 6 years, maybe, just because anytime they lose or start having back-to-back bad results, El Salvador wants them out. And the longest coach we've had, he was there since qualifiers, so it was before this last World Cup. So he was only there maybe like 2 years. He was barely getting on to his third year. But he told everyone, he's like, hey, we're going to try to make the 2022 World Cup, but the goal is 2026. And we didn't have a good Nations League, and the whole stadium was yelling out, fire him, fire him, fire him. But when we all reflect of like the people who have some, you know, sense in soccer, when we all reflect of the changes he did and everything like that, and the improvements he was making to the team, it was just like, man, if they would have just gave him another year, or, you know, another year and a half or a little bit more time, I think he would have got us ready for 2026 and everything like that. And now we have a whole new coach and things are chaos over there right now. But that's something I told the parents. And that's why I told the parents, like, hey, this is long term, because the changes that and everything I'm pointing out to the kids right now may not necessarily reflect within 1 or 2 months, but we might see it in the next 5 to 6 months, or even next summer and everything like that. You'll start seeing those diehard improvements and everything like that, because it takes time. It's honestly a process, and that's the thing I think some parents don't necessarily understand. Sometimes they do, they understand, like, okay, it's going to take time, but when they don't see the results in the 1 to maybe like 3 months, then they're like, okay, we need something different, or I got to find a trainer to improve him since my coach isn't improving him, and all sorts of stuff.
You hit on a couple of things. So I'll give the story of Landon, and most of my listeners have heard this story. Landon got a personal trainer because he couldn't handle the physical side of the game at 6 years old of soccer, because you end up in tears because he got pushed. Yeah. I kid you not. Now this is the kid that will two hands shove a kid off him. And yeah, different kid in a span of 5 years. And But looking back, it's like we hired a trainer to help him learn how to be physical. I mean, I never had a soccer background. I had a wrestling background. I can teach him how to move weight, body weight, and move how to make someone fall or make someone not push him over, but I can't teach him how to properly iron bar or properly post against a player because in my eyes it's more physical. It needs to be more physical and got me in trouble yesterday. And it's teaching these kids, like for Landon, it was now he has a private coach because he wants to go to the next level. It doesn't deal anything with me as a parent. My job, and I'll say this time and time again, is to foster his dream the best that I can capably do it. Has he had a private lesson in 2 months? No, because we don't have time. As parents, like you said, these parents that do it 5 days, I don't know how they afford it, let alone have time to do it. I mean, I struggle with just getting my wife and I struggle getting our kids to their training sessions or whatever activities they have during the week, let alone anything extra. And watching this process of him having these coaches and these coaches and the impact they have on him, then now fast forward to current day, he started a team only he the coach started with three players in May or June trying to build a team up. Now he has 14 kids on roster, 16 kids on roster. I don't remember. I'll have to look at Team Snap, but he has 14 kids on roster, let's say, and for 9v9. And I think that's a great number as a parent because that's good amount of subbing time and for everyone. And he is playing at a higher level than he was back in July when he joined the team, when we signed our contract for him to go play. And we don't care. It's like they won their season. They had, I think, 3 wins, 1 draw, and 4 losses. They went to a tournament. They got to the semifinals and got smoked 11-0. But they got to the semifinals. We were proud of them. As a team, my wife and I look at it as like the first 6 months to a year is a wash. And I think parents need to start walking into it in that mentality, especially if it's a new team or with their player. It's the first 6 months, write it off because there's not much you can do because first the player has to adapt to the team. And more importantly, the player has to adapt to the coach. And 6 months, if you don't see improvement, that's a different story. It's a kind of time, like you say, is to have a conversation. You talked about development and how do you take your 6 months? I know you talked about not this year, but next year. And you talked about the El Salvadorian. I need 6 years to build what I need to do, that coach there. How do you present this? Because I know coaches have been successful in the area doing this, but how do you lay it out to parents for them to understand? And I'm looking at it as this is a template for parents to go to coaches with. To have expectations. Like I said, we don't care. The first 6 months, if we win, great. If not, as long as the team's improving, we are happy as a parent.
I think now, in regards to development, because in my younger ages, I would say, okay, my goal is to develop your kid. But I'm not gonna lie, when I was younger, I was naive and I was all over the place and I was a young guy and everything like that. But now that I really told myself, like these last probably 2 years, 3 years, let's say 3.5, let's say 3.5 just to be safe. These last 3.5 years as a coach, data has been so important to me. Like I was saying earlier, I give my parents, I've given them a training plan since we got in our season from what was it, mid-November, it's going to be all the way up to February about things I want the kids to work on at home, but also what we're focusing on as a group. Just like teachers that have their lesson plans and everything like that, I set that as what we're working on and everything like that. So they have an idea like, hey, these are the things that we're focusing on. And especially a lot of them like to sit at my practices and watch. So I want them to see like, okay, yes, he is working on that and doing with the kid. He's not just saying, hey, we're going to work on this and not do it, you know, because the reason why I did that layout too, and especially for them, because I know they're watching, is that if I, for example, put shooting practice, if we're doing shooting practice, focusing on how to hit the ball, you know, making sure we put it in the back of the net, get reps and everything like that, but we're still struggling to score in games, then it's just like I want the parents to understand, like, yes, we are working on that. I know we're not scoring, but and I don't want no one saying like, well, coach, you need to do more shooting practice. It's like, no, we don't need to do more shooting. Well, yes, we need to do more shooting practice. I mean, but it's just like, it's not that we're not doing it. It's just because we, you know, just game situations. But yeah, I mean, in regards to development, I just now especially with South City, I just try to give all the data as possible or the layout of what we're focusing on. Because funny enough, I actually had a new parent that I recently had joined the team for my 2016s, my U8s, and his dad told me, he was like, "Hey man, thank you for having us out." He's like, "We're definitely gonna join the team." He's like, "My daughter learned so much from you within an hour than a whole season of rec," because he's like, "They didn't even show anything, or like they barely touched on stuff, or barely even had practices and everything like that." Because I even sent an email to all these new rec parents that are joining me, my training plan and layout. They're like, "Whoa, this is crazy! Like, what the heck is this? This is like some pro professional academy stuff." But I just tell them, I was like, "No, like I want y'all to really understand what y'all getting yourselves into, and like what I'm wanting from the kids to do on their own, and as well as what I'm planning on focusing on, what I'm teaching your kids, so that you can see the progress that they're making in the games and the development that I'm focusing on." And for me, my development is real slow. Other coaches probably do it way faster, or probably have maybe access to train more days, because I try doing 3 days a week. And just like how you said, parents don't have the full time, you know, because a lot of my parents at South City go to church on Wednesdays and or have family stuff on different days, or tutoring and everything like that, because, I mean, kids still have school and all that good stuff. And I don't know how long it takes them to do homework now. But
every
now,
school's different.
Yeah, every school is different. But now, just going 2 days a week and everything like that, I just try to focus on the small things as much as possible, because they make a big impact. Especially, like, for example, how to hit the balls. A lot of my current girls are struggling to do like long, super long balls in the air and everything like that, and just little things like that. So, you know, we work on because I want to make sure that they understand and know how to do it. Or even if they end up leaving me, right, they at least learned how to, you know, do the small things and everything like that. But I try to lay out my development plan for the parents, because I think that's important. Because like I said, a lot of coaches say, "Hey, we're going to develop your kids and everything like that." But, you know, they're only keeping the main best players on the field and everything like that, and not letting your kid apply what they're learning or anything like that. And that's why, you know, I lay out that plan, and when they do actually do it in the games, it's just like, okay, like they're actually doing it. I guess it's just the last point to add that really kind of showed me as a coach, like, yeah, the development plan is working. This recent practice, again, with my U8s, because they just catch me off guard almost all the time. But I had one of my little girls, her name is Kennedy. We're working on skills, doing a scissor, pushing past the defender, and then scoring. And she was going against one of my better boys. And when I played the ball down the middle, she got it first. And instead of stopping the ball and doing a scissor, she did it in motion, pushed past him. He actually fell down to his knees. And then she looked up and struck the ball so hard and went in the goal. And I was just like, jaw dropped. I was like, wow. I was so excited. I even yelled. I was like, "Kennedy, yes. Great freaking job." Like, that's, I was like, "Everyone, did you see that?" And she told me how her dad texted me. He's my manager, but he texted me. He was like, "Man, Kennedy came home so excited that you were so excited that she did a scissor correctly and shot the ball. Now she's trying to go to the backyard and do it." And that's what it is, you know. When the player knows that they're finally starting to get it, it starts to bring that excitement and that fun into the game. Because especially, like, even in school, when the kids are learning and know how to finally solve that math problem, it's just like, yes, like, I want to keep doing this because, like, now I know how to do it. And I think that's the biggest part of development and everything like that. Just building, especially if they're new to the game, like building up into the little things so they can do the bigger things more easier. So
it goes back to that younger age. If you can start developing them younger and getting them just to understand contact with the ball is so important. It's amazing. When I remember when I coached, it was like you're saying, like, you get excited over those small little things. All of a sudden the popcorn, as that's how we always described it. You never know when that popcorn kernel is going to pop. It could be U8, it could be U12, it could be U14 even, or U16. You'd never know when it will pop. And when they have that moment, I like what you said, you celebrate it in such a big way that it made such an impact. She went home to tell her dad how excited you were for her. Mm-hmm. I think I described it recently is more of like, I think of the Rocky movies.
Oh yeah,
love the Soviet Union training I can't think of the guy's name in the
Oh,
movie.
Drago. Yeah, he was funny.
Yes, and it's very robotic. It's very not even methodical. It is just being a robot. It's like watching the old videos from the 1900s where everyone just runs through the line and they have like a punching bag, a speed bag, and they all just do a header against it, and then they go on to the next thing. And now it is forcing them to do it on their own and forcing them to have the creativity on their own. And I feel like when you get to some of these high pressure, high performing clubs, they just want little robots that can just do scissors when they on demand and not do it in the right moment, but they can do a scissor. And like you said, it's like she did it in motion. She did it, and you're developing it from the sounds of it, building upon step by step. And I think that's what's missing. I think missing in our North Texas culture. It is okay, they got it down this week. We won't touch on it again for another 6 months.
Because I mean that's a great point, because something I saw recently, well, not saw recently, but I saw and hear about, is that especially with the bigger clubs, especially within the academy system in the younger ages, a lot of those coaches around that time wouldn't pick up like a kid that's fresh. Like they're like, no, I don't want to do that. They want a kid, like how you're saying, that already knows how to do at least the skills and everything like that. If they don't do it perfect, but at least have the concept of it, like they'll take them. They don't want kids who are fresh. Like I'm okay taking kids that are fresh. Do I have to have a little more patience with them? Yeah, sure. But it's just like from there, it's personally for me, it's a little bit more easier starting from zero, because like once you start showing them how to do stuff and they start learning how to do it, just like how my example with the little girl, it's just like then they get excited, like, oh, I've seen it so many times, like, oh, I know how to do a scissor. Like, coach, pick me, and I know how to do it. Because I usually get my kids to demonstrate so they can show their teammates, like, hey, Colin, demonstrate a coif turn. And they do it. And then when I pick another kid to do it, like, oh my gosh, is this my coach? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yes. So you know, it's tough, because it's just nowadays we push to aside the kids who really want to learn, for the kids that are just like you said, like robots who already know, that got it all down, not out of their own creativity, but just because someone told them to do it.
I read on social media. I follow a few people, and one of the guys who I follow, he made the comment. I'm trying to remember it. I don't know where he got it from, but he equated kids to bananas. And no coach wants the really green banana yet because it's too much work. They want the ripe banana. And what do they do when the banana is no longer ripe? They discard it. And at what age are we discarding those brown bananas that are no longer perfect bananas, but they still do such a great, they still taste fine, they still are still good to eat. Now you're applying that to kids. There's still kids that can do everything, just maybe not as at the high level as when they're at the ripe stage. And it's like I like the analogy, but I also like you can't go back, like they can't go back and being ripe again. But in my eyes, it's like every kid goes through the improvement line, and I call it the squiggles. I mean, it's like it's just a little tornado, the circles all up and down. And I think parents are so wanting their kids to either climb and plateau, or just constantly climb, and they forget that it's not. It's more like watching the peaks of a mountain range where they go up and down, or the stock market might be more associated where they can take a huge drop and take a step back. And we don't know why. It could be an injury or whatever it may be, but doesn't mean they can't come back beyond where they should be at.
No, that's factual, because I mean, it is true that there are certain points of the players, and I think a lot of the coaches that I've worked around were really good on giving me this advice on, you're gonna have a player that at a certain point is gonna do super good and then start like regressing just a little bit due to something that maybe the kid's seeing and he's not liking, and he's maybe not speaking up about it, or maybe he's maybe a little burnt out or something, and then starts to regressing, and then the parents start asking like, hey, what's wrong, like what is he doing, or like or it turns into like maybe you're not doing a good job as a coach and we need to find somewhere else that's gonna bring him back up and things like that, which It's just tough. I mean, I think, yeah, like you said, I mean, some parents forget, like, I mean, just as human, the kids are still human beings, and they're gonna have moments where maybe they're just not feeling it and everything like that, because I mean, even as a coach, I've even felt like, I was like, man, like, I don't feel like I'm doing a good job. I don't feel like I'm putting anything new or creative out, I feel like I've been just working on the same things and everything like that. And it's hard because I feel like I have my good moments as a coach and then start bringing it down, coming back down to earth about losing and maybe struggling to get the practice right and get everyone understanding. But then it starts coming back up when they, and different moments, different months, which I've all experienced this year already. So yeah, I mean, it's just an up and down cycle, like you said.
When I coached, we had a philosophy with our kids that, and you're talking, well, I guess that Landon was 6 or 7 at the time, and it was, we never lose. We always, it's, you're always learning, because if you go with the mentality, if that, when you lose, you lost, you're done, it means you can't grow. And I think as parents, losing is very important for kids. I mean, my son last night, they got to the finals and lost in a Golden Boot overtime. And the coach put it very well, and my wife and I had a long chat about it last night. It's like, where they were in July, if they would have played in this tournament, they might have won one game. They went undefeated until the finals. And as parents, we were proud. But at the same time, there's a few new kids that need to learn the method of the coaching and the playing style with the coach. My son struggled with it because he always played 3 in the back. This coach plays 2 in the back, with more of a defending midfielders on the wings. And it took him a long time to understand, as a left back, that he is solely responsible for majority of anything that comes to the middle of the field, because he was always the left wing defender.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch. Hey everyone, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. I'm sorry that it abruptly ended, but I had to cut it somewhere, and this was probably the best spot, I thought, without giving it too lopsided one way or the other. So get ready for part 2. Coach Angel is great. Like I said in the intro, this is a great gentleman to have around and chat with, to learn from, to grow from.